I mean, you don't run down to the store like a madman and buy Coca-Cola for $1,000 just because you see an ad about Coca-Cola in the newspaper. That is not how it works. No, instead, it is about influencing your subconscious through constant exposure. After you have seen the Coca-Cola ad in the newspaper 20 times, and also you have seen the Coca-Cola ad on the billboard in the town, and also you have seen the Coca-Cola ad in 3 different TV commercials, and through product placements in a good film you saw, and so on, then the possibility that you will choose Coca-Cola over a generic brand of other beverage when you are standing in the store to buy something to drink is significantly greater.
Hello and welcome to Leadership Perspective, the Nordic Resistance Movement's official podcast. This is episode number 25. My name is Fredrik Weideland, and with me, as always, the Nordic Resistance Movement's leader, Simon Lindberg. How are you doing?
Greetings, hello, hello. I am just fine, thanks. And you as well?
Yeah, I'm fine. Have you made any New Year's resolutions?
No, I am quite good at doing promises to myself, resolutions, but not on New Year's Eve. I do it all the year round instead.
Okay. I usually make New Year's resolution because I like to give myself some kind of challenge.
I think it's a little bit bourgeois.
No.
I'm just kidding. No, it's good, of course, to challenge yourself, and it's good to always try to become a better version of yourself. So, therefore, I strongly appraise New Year's resolutions, definitely.
Yeah, actually, I listened to the Daily Show, and Mike didn't like New Year's resolutions, because often that regards, people want to begin training, but... Just do it. Do it in the middle of the year. Just make up your mind and begin to train. But I made some New Year's resolutions regarding training. But I have begun really intense training a few months ago. But I have some things I want to do, some specific things. So
interesting. Then we... Since we do not record these shows that often, just every second month, then we will have a good follow-up in 2 months on how you are doing.
Yeah, for sure, yes. Should I take it here?
If you want, it's up to you.
Okay.
Yeah. It's more official, now you can't back down from it if you say it here. So.
Yeah. I want to do to make the Cooper test on... 2.6 kilometers. That is running 12 minutes and manage 2.6 kilometers. I will try, but I am. I weigh 100 kilos, so it's quite hard to do that actually. But I will certainly try this year and try to manage it. And the other thing I want to do is. Be better in something in the gym training compared to when I was in my best shape, best in my prime, when you were 18 or 23 or 25. I'm 44 now, but I want to be better than my younger version in something. And I'm quite close in a lot, or a few of them, actually.
Mm. Good.
Yeah, so that's sound, my new
sound resolutions. I wish you all the luck and, maybe... Yeah, not so much luck, but I wish you strength to keep on going.
And the other thing, I know I will manage it. Mm. Yeah, but enough training talk. We do have a podcast for that also. So
yeah,
but
in Swedish. At least.
In Swedish, yeah. I thought I would start this first episode of the year by talking about the times we are in now. And as you know, we live in completely insane times. And I'm not just thinking about the genocide of our race that the global power elite has been carrying out for a long time and that has the support of all our politicians. Or all the absurd things that happen that belong to what we can call clown world. No, I'm talking about the events of recent years where the globalists and the Jews have carried out a series of measures that have completely changed the way we live and that threaten all of humanity. After the globalists' climate propaganda began to be questioned, came COVID-19. Pretty much the entire world was shut down and new draconian laws came into being. All that came out of the mainstream media then was propaganda and all critical voices, even from doctors and epidemiologists, were everywhere silenced. Is the record-breaking so-called vaccine safe? Is it safe for children? Are the measures reasonable for what appears to be just a flu? Why do people die from the vaccine? And why are many of them healthy? These were some of the perfectly normal and legitimate questions that never came out in the open, but instead led to a lot of people being silenced and ridiculed. After this came the war in Ukraine. Absurdly, the pandemic ceased to be a pandemic pretty much the same day the war became a fact. You may remember globalist lackey Trudeau in Canada fighting truckers one day, while letting it go and getting involved in the Ukraine conflict the next. So literally the next day. Here too, the mainstream media in the West has devoted itself solely to propaganda and massive indoctrination. As a result of years of political mismanagement and Western sanctions against Russia, we are now facing a winter where fuel prices are sky high and we can no longer supply our population with electricity. In the Nordic countries, with our harsh climate, this means that very many people are at risk of dying. In Sweden, they blame this on Putin and call the electricity, fuel and food prices for Putin prices. But the situation is entirely created by the globalists and their lackeys, our politicians. In Sweden, we dismantled nuclear power and relied on wind power. Then we privatized electricity because the EU wanted it, so that the private companies that controlled the electricity supply would rather export this than supply our own population with it. And finally, they implemented sanctions against Russia without a thought of what consequences it will lead to. And here we are. Those who are convinced that everything that happens in the world is a stage show believe that what is happening right now is part of a plan where the rulers of the world create war and conflict in order to carry out the Great Reset. Maybe. But I always prefer to have some alternative theories. One of them is that what is happening right now de facto is about the global power elite wanting to achieve a total change in the world in some way. But they have changed their strategy because their own power has been exposed. What is called the Great Shutdown on social media first affected National Socialists and then Nationalists, then critics of the system in general, then critics of specific issues that the ruling elite do not want you to criticize, and now also ordinary people who think differently. In the end, it is not possible to contain this massive criticism, and it does not get easier when even heads of states or government begin to adopt an anti-globalist thinking, or when celebrities challenge the Jewish power. The rulers of the world have too many enemies, and they continue to grow in number. For those of us who have been in the fight for decades, we have been able to see that the winning concept of the power elite has always been to boil the frog slowly. When the great immigrant invasion hit Europe in 2015, our countries were already full of racial aliens, but few reacted to it because the invasion happened slowly over a long period of time. But when people then saw in 2015 the images of thousands invading our countries, many people woke up. And that in turn created an explosion of immigration critics and the critics of the system that are still here today. The Jews behind banking and the world economy have also been reshaping the economy to their advantage for a long time. Again, using the boiled frog principle. If the goal of the globalists is to achieve the Great Reset, then they could have used the winner concept and we would have got there 10 years later, perhaps, but without conflict and without anyone challenging their power or questioning their decisions. Everyone had accepted the changes and they probably still would have been asleep and not even aware that changes had taken place. The other alternative explanation is that the global power elite and its lackeys have panicked, making irrational decisions because they feel their days are numbered. They feel the hatred from below, from people who have had their lives destroyed, and that there are constantly new challengers appearing on the international scene that fuel this hatred. I believe it's a combination of those two things, a new strategy because they feel like they are losing control, and a big dose of panic on top of that. I am convinced that they do not see this situation as optimal. It has never been plan A, but they do the things they do because they feel they must do it in order to maintain power. But regardless of whether this was planned from the get-go, whether the strategy was adapted in recent years, or whether it has to do with panic, we can state that the global power elite does not have total control. It is a gamble they are dealing with that could very well backfire on them in a way that causes them to lose everything in the end. But this is not only their loss chance, but also our big chance. A total collapse, if it comes now, is what we have been planned for. We have been organized for and we have trained for in all these years. And what has held us back is that our people have still been able to live the materialistic dream and felt that it costs too much to go against the system. There are an awful lot of people out there who actually agree with us in the basic matters, in all the basic matters, but who have aligned themselves with the stronger party, the system. But what happens when people are imprisoned, censored, oppressed in every way without being compensated with the high standard of living, modern lifestyle, and the materialistic dream? What happens when you go from a high standard of living to not a normal one, but to starving to death, freezing to death, or being killed in one of NATO's senseless wars to protect the Judeo-capitalist world order? Think about it. Will it benefit those in power, or will it benefit us? This is indeed our big opportunity. Revolutionary-minded people will appear when the soil for revolution is created, and these will resort to those who they know have always been on their side, and who, in addition to the will, to our will, also have structure and organization. Therefore, I still look brightly at the situation we found ourselves in, even if it will mean sacrifices for both the individual and the fighting crowd. But it is something we will manage because we are used to oppression in a way that no one else is. And this gives us an advantage when everything around us falls apart. So my message to the listeners going into 2023, the enemy has shown himself to be vulnerable, and it is forces like us that have wounded him. Keep fighting in the coming year and prepare for big changes in the future. Yeah, that was that a little bit longer this time, but much to say.
Introduction of hope with the new year.
Yeah, but absolutely. It is really interesting times, but then it is hard to know how interesting the times are, how close we are to the settings we are looking for. There could be really, really, really interesting things happening already this year, or it takes a little bit longer, but definitely we are on our way to changes.
For sure. It could be like freezing to death. It could happen. Maybe it won't. Maybe it will be stabilized in the middle of the year or something. But we will benefit anyway from all this.
Absolutely. Yes. No, but interesting times. We are living in interesting times, and the 30s are getting closer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 30s. All again. Yeah, but moving on to the next segment, what has been going on in the struggle since the last episode? And with last episode means the middle of November until now, when we record a week in the new year, January 2023. So what has been going on this period?
There has been somewhere between 150 to 200 activities held throughout the Nordic countries during this period, a period in which also many of our members actually took the opportunity of a well-deserved vacation around Christmas and New Year's Eve. So a little bit slow on the struggle front for a week or two, but I think they are definitely worth it. We have started again, and we will soon be up to full speed again. But as usual, I will take some time to talk about some of the best activities out of these 150 to 200. And I start on the 30th of November, when some of our activists gathered in Stockholm, the capital of Sweden, first to participate in another nationalistic event. And after that, we did our own thing. The 30th of November holds a long, over 100 years old tradition in Sweden of nationalistic demonstrations. It marks the day when the warrior king Karl the 12th, or Carolus Rex, died in battle. And normally, we in the Nordic Resistance Movement, unlike many other nationalist organizations around the world, do not care that much about old kings and such. Instead, we are more into focusing on our own traditions and what we have accomplished now and the things we could do in the future. But this date, the 30th of November, it is something slightly different, at least, since it's, as said, traditionally have become a day when nationalists demonstrate, and also, of course, when Reds demonstrate to try to stop the nationalists, and during the years which quite huge clashes as a result. Also, the 30th of November 2022, as usual, there were Reds in the capital to counter-protest the nationalists. However, they were very, very few, and also they were heavily restricted by the police. And after the main event where we participated was done with this other nationalistic organization, then we did our own thing. I gave a fierce speech surrounded by comrades and green smoke grenades. And then after this, we tried to get closer to the Reds, but sadly it was impossible because all of the police in the capital. So instead we walked around for some sightseeing at the Stockholm synagogue. And it was actually kind of funny, because the police followed us all around, all over the central parts of Stockholm, when we were trying to find a way to get to the Reds. But then, when we came to the conclusion that it will be impossible for us to reach them, so we turned to the opposite way and headed towards the street where the synagogue is. Then they left us for a little while. The police just left. They thought, now they are finally giving up, not going after the Reds anymore, so now we can let them be. But then, after just a minute or so, they were coming in full speed towards us. They probably got informed by some commander or something that the synagogue was that way we were walking. So they got there in a real hurry, I can say. So that was a little bit funny.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
And it's like begging for it when you go to these places in a group like this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you know the police will put up the batons directly.
Yeah. So
very fun.
But yeah, we took some photos and so on, at least there. I was also charged with hate speech, I've heard, because I made a, okay sign outside of the synagogue, and that they would try for hate speech. We will see.
Right, okay.
But yeah, that was that. A week after this 30th of November, there were two big demonstrations held in Helsinki. On the 6th of December, Finland's Independence Day. Traditionally, a radical nationalist demonstration is held, and then after that one, a bigger and wider, more patriotic Torslit March was held. And of course, Nordic Resistance Movement was present on both of the demonstrations. Swedish, Norwegian, and also Forbidden Finnish members were there, together on the successful marches throughout the Finnish capital. So that went very well. Several hundred of persons attended to the radical nationalist demonstration. In Denmark, there has been a couple of different bigger nationwide propaganda campaigns. The first one against PFAS, meaning, if I can pronounce this in English, per and polyfluoroalkyl alkyl substances. And these PFAS are pretty high concentrations in the Danish rainwater because of the government's neglect of these hazardous poisons on behalf of the big finance. And then the second campaign was against the, as you talked about in the introduction as well, the record high electricity prices in the Nordic countries because of these privatizations of the electricity market, because of the connection with Europe through EU, and because of, as you also mentioned, the ongoing boycott against Russia, the one that affects the European countries themselves even more than Russia that are being boycotted. But still, it leads to high electricity prices. So this also the Danish resistance men made a propaganda campaign about. In Norway, they have continued putting up metal signs
They screwed them up, glued them up everywhere, so they are very hard to take down. They have put them up on a lot of different places with different campaign messages. Example, they made a really big commercial campaign for the nationalistic Nordic radio site, nordiskradio.se. In Sweden, our activists put up barricade tape and also locked a construction site with chains, since they are building new settlements for refugees there to be able to continue the mass immigration and to continue the replacement of our people. The chains were put up together with a message for the workers working on the construction site to ask themselves if their salary is actually worth continue working for the extermination of our people. We also conducted activism around the death day of the nationalist youth Daniel Wretström. We did it in the town of Salem, where he was murdered by racial foreigners in the year of 2000. There was a square meeting there. And also there was a square meeting in his hometown, Västerås. There was also a memorial ceremony at his grave, and as well as some smaller activism with banners being put up and such around various different places in Sweden. Maybe some of you old foxes listening to this have attended some demonstrations in Salem several years ago, but they are no longer, but still our activists keep the memory of Daniel Wretström alive. Then we have had all the Christmas activities. The first of Advent, we were present at a huge Christmas market in the Swedish city of Gävle, where we got a lot of media attention and a lot of attention also from the people being at the Christmas market due to our banners in the middle of everything and handing out flyers to the visitors. And actually, the sickest article of the whole year 2022 in the Lügenpresse was written after this activity, where the author in the local newspaper wrote that it was just out of pure luck that we didn't do a terror attack, killing several of the people during the market. Since we always used to do that when we have public activities or something. I don't know. Totally insane lies, even for being the Lügenpresse. Remarkable. Then the week after this, we attended a second Christmas market, this time in the small Swedish town of Eksjö, where even more flyers were handed out and discussions were being held with people, but this time without any terrorist accusations. And then the week after this, our activists in Denmark took part in a third Christmas party, this time at the huge annual H.C. Andersen Christmas market in Odense. Here our guys wore activist jackets, but also Santa hats. And in addition to handing out leaflets, they actually also handed out Christmas presents for all white children that were present. Right before Christmas, it was time for our activists in the second largest city of Norway, the city of Bergen, to do their part of Christmas activities, as they were putting up Christmas ornaments with Tivas runes and swastikas on them in several public Christmas trees throughout the city. A nice idea with this new kind of activity that I do not believe we have ever done before. And this was a quite easy thing to do, but as I have said many times before in this show, I love when our activists think outside the box in order to try to find new creative ways to spread our important message. And that I really think they did here, even if it was a quite simple activity. And in Bergen, I would say that the activists, they're actually in the front line there when it comes to coming up with these new creative activities. So very nice to see. And yeah, this is somewhere where I think I'm almost done with the report for this time. I have saved the most important thing for the ending. There has been several Christmas smorgasbord arranged by the organization around the North. A nice place where all members as well as some supporters could eat traditional Nordic Christmas food, hang out with each other and socialize with each other, and where all the kids can get presents from National Socialist Santa Claus. All right, maybe not the most important activity, but Nordic food and Nazi socializing could never be wrong, right? So yeah, there I'm done.
Yeah, very good. I really like the Danish Christmas activity. I wonder what the parents said that when the children got presents and they got leaflets with a happy white Yule.
Yeah. It's and it is quite. I mean, it's not some red would you know, some woke people would cry out here. Oh, so immoral of the Nazis handing out Christmas presents to the kids. But I mean, the other parties do this all the time. They hand out balloons and stuff
candy.
Like candy. Yes. So it's not something strange anyway.
No.
But yes, it would have been nice to be there as a fly on the wall to see how the parents reacted.
Yeah, I don't know if the article is translated yet, but there is on our Swedish website and the Danish.
Mm.
But it's only see happy faces on the receivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, very good.
Odense heart national socialism.
Yeah, for real. Very good. We're moving on to ideological, tactical, philosophical question, and this time we'll talk about propaganda. What kind of propaganda the resistance movement tends to spread and why, as well as other things to think about around the topic. And we start with basic. What is propaganda really, and doesn't the word have quite a negative connotation? Why not call it information or some similar, kinder word?
Yeah, propaganda to what is propaganda? Start with that question. Propaganda could be said to be absolutely everything that influences people to some degree. Kind of a synonym, and to make it maybe easier to understand the word, is actually to compare propaganda with sales. Because when you sell a product or service, you promote it. And when you spread a political message and thus propagate, you sell that message. However, propaganda is not just the written or spoken word, or even if we add images, film, and music. No, propaganda is also how you appear. How the recipient perceives the overall image, and that also includes, for example, if the person spreading the propaganda is fit or unfit, whether he or she is attractive or not, what kind of clothes he or she wears, how many people are spreading the message at the same time, and so on. So just about everything that people can think of being influenced by when engaged in political struggle, that is propaganda. And we prefer to call a spade, a race, a Jew, and propaganda, propaganda. According to some, it can sometimes be considered more tactical to talk about culture instead of race, not to mention Jews at all and talk about information instead of propaganda. But we believe that honesty lasts longer, and that all these so-called tactical shortcuts instead become detours in the end. And the people do not need more sleazy salesmen and soft spaghetti politicians. No, they need honest men and women with high morals. And following this belief is also part of what our propaganda is.
Yeah. Actually, I used several times, I think, propaganda in a negative sense when describing the mainstream media earlier. I do this because I believe that the media should either be impartial overall, or if it is biased, be open about it.
Mm.
So I want to show that the mainstream media are dishonest when they use propaganda, but disguise it as like objective information or stuff like that. So
absolutely.
I totally agree there with the propaganda.
Yeah, part. Absolutely. And I think we are actually in Sweden, at least. I think we are the only ones that are saying
that are honest enough to say that we spread propaganda. It's what we do.
Yeah, and we can say, and the enemy do it also.
Absolutely. But they would not say it. They would just say, no, this is just education or media or whatever.
Yeah. Do you consider it important for all national organizations to work with propaganda?
Yes, absolutely. If we don't want to influence people, then there is no reason at all to get involved politically. I mean, nearly all the purpose of our nationalist struggle is to work with propaganda, aside from working to prepare our members and organization for taking control of and running the system, then I believe that most of what we do is about propaganda. And then I said, there are many different ways to do the propaganda. Many people may think only of flyers or posters when they hear the word propaganda. But even if you, as example, maybe run a nationalist organization that would only deal with martial art training, and then you publish some picture from this via social media every now and then also these pictures you post are propaganda. They will affect people who see them positively or negatively. Therefore, they is propaganda, even if you do not hand out any flyers or put up any posters. And I believe, actually, sadly, that many nationalist groups are unfortunately quite bad at propaganda. There are some groups that are really good at propaganda, but also many that are quite bad at propaganda. And perhaps, above all, because they do not seem to understand the concept I have talked about here, that all political work is propaganda, at least to some extent. Because even if you have, let's say, an internal meeting for members only, not a single image, not a single line of text from this meeting is published to outsiders, then still things like who participated, how many participated, what was said at the meeting, how the room was decorated, what food you served to the members, etc. They are all still part of the internal propaganda that the visitors get from being at this meeting. All details from the meeting affect the participants of the meeting to a greater or lesser extent. So it is therefore very important to always think from a propaganda view whatever you do with your nationalist organization. And also important to not forget about the details as well, as many times they could be changing the whole picture.
Yeah, for sure. I see this as very good propaganda with trained men with good poster who dress, I don't know the word in English exactly, but neatly nice. Maybe not fancy, but nice. And acting groups. That is very good propaganda, actually. Mm. So it's when you think about, like you said, when you think about propaganda, you must wider your thoughts, wider your view on what it is. Mm. So, and it also could be like music or stuff like that, many things. Mm. Yeah, but when dealing with flyers and posters, as you mentioned, or for that matter, stickers, are they not pointless and outdated forms of propaganda? And surely no man joins the fight just for the sake of that, or?
It is quite true, actually, that very few people, if even someone, will join us just because they see one sticker on a lamppost or get a single flyer in their mailbox. But that is not how printed propaganda is meant to work either. If that would happen, it would have been an insanely bonus, not the real reason for the propaganda. Instead, flyers and posters and stickers, they work in the same way as all marketing and all advertising. I mean, you don't run down to the store like a madman and buy Coca-Cola for $1,000
just because you see an ad about Coca-Cola in the newspaper. That is not how it works. No, instead, it is about influencing your subconscious through constant exposure. After you have seen the Coca-Cola ad in the newspaper 20 times, and also you have seen the Coca-Cola ad on the billboard in the town, and also you have seen the Coca-Cola ad in 3 different TV commercials, and through product placements in a good film you saw, and so on, then the possibility that you will choose Coca-Cola over a generic brand of other beverage when you are standing in the store to buy something to drink is significantly greater, because your subconsciousness has simply been influenced or brainwashed to become more positive when it comes to Coca-Cola. This is how commercial work. This is how also printed propaganda works. It has very many similarities, at least. So this is also how our propaganda works. The 30th time the same man see a sticker from us in the city where he lives, he might visit our website for the first time. And after visiting and reading our website maybe 100 times, maybe for a whole year, then he might apply for membership. This is how the process works for very many people, at least. And it all started with that single sticker he saw, the first one he saw, the first flyer he got. But having said all of that, there are, of course, some propaganda methods that are better than others, and there are some that are worse than others. There are those that are more and less important. But I would say that there is no propaganda method at all that is completely pointless. Certainly a demonstration with 50 well-trained and well-dressed women and men and a well-executed speech is better and more effective propaganda than a sticker. But it also takes an enormous amount of more resources, and it involves much greater risks. And by the way, why must one exclude the other? All the 50 participants in the demonstration can, with very simple means, just as well put up 2 or 3 stickers on their way or to or home from the demonstration. And so you have done both 100 to 150 stickers and the demonstration at the same time, with just small more cost and time put into it. So I would say, as said, no propaganda is worthless. They all serve their purpose. Some is better than other, but no one is pointless.
The recent studies regarding the McDonald's logo that claim that when you see that logo, that M, you get hungry. And that is because the color combination, the red and yellow and stuff like that. So it's psychological. They have a psychological effect on you. But you have to resist that. But there you can see that the symbols have meaning. They can have a positive meaning or a negative meaning like this. But for them, it's not unnecessary.
No, but I mean, it's the same thing, because also a person does not need to read our posters, our flyers, or our stickers, but if they see them constantly, the Tivas rune will be there in a picture inside of their unconsciousness. So they will be more and more, we will be normalized by it. They will not see it as something strange when they have already seen it several times.
Yeah, and the Tivas rune is the rune of the warrior, so... The reason behind that is to uplift the receiver of the message, and not so they will not want to eat McDonald's, but fight for a race instead.
Fight against McDonald's instead.
Fight against McDonald's. Yeah. Yes. What kind of message does the resistance movement want to spread with the propaganda? What is important to think about in order to succeed in this?
We want to portray ourselves as a strong and honest force that truly represents a radically different alternative. A challenger of the prevailing system that is diametrically opposed to those who rule the world today. And we want to spread hope and optimism in these dark times. Of course, we use black pills as well in our propaganda. I mean, reporting truthfully about what is happening around us, unfortunately, often leads to black pills. I mean, our people are being robbed, raped, and murdered each and every day. Culture Marxism is gaining strength all the time, with lower number of white children being born as a result, and the system don't give a shit about our people. But at the same time as all of this, it is extremely important to still spread a message of hope to everyone. Because even if it may look dark, there is hope out there for sure. We must let people know that we are the solution to all problems, and that even though we are far from being a real power factor right now, the situation can change very fast, and the situation will change at last, because we have the truth and we have the true righteousness on our side. And we want to explain to people that resistance pays off, that you can actually fight back, that if we just come together, we can defeat this system. We can take our country back from the globalists' power-hungry hands one beautiful day. And in all of this, it is of course important that no matter how many black pills you scatter, you still focus more on the white pills, on the streaks of hope in the darkness. It is also important to portray ourselves as strong as possible, because the people are awaiting a strong force. So we can portray ourselves as stronger through clothing, through symbols that clearly stand out, through being honest in a time full of lies, through being fit and looking good, etc. We can show that we are strong through numbers, through physical strength, and through mental strength, through courage. When our activists embrace self-sacrifice, when our activists live by the power of Volksgemeinschaft, then hopefully it could also influence other people to do the same thing. And a very, very simple ground rule to think of when it comes to all of this is that we never take cover behind the system. As an example, we do not use the police as our shield. The police is part of the system, and the system is our enemy. We always fight back if we are attacked, regardless of whether the enemy is outnumbered, armed, or protected by the system and its laws. And it's also important for us to spread the true image that our race is strong, that we all have the Aryan power within us. As one example out of many, to just nail it down to something very simple for you to understand what I'm talking about. A few years ago, many nationalist groups around Europe and maybe the world spread the messages, "Rapefugees not welcome." And then there was a picture where a bunch of aliens chased a lonely, crying white woman. And I believe this is totally insane. This is insane propaganda, according to me. This is the opposite of how I like our propaganda to be. So instead, we spread also "Rapefugees not welcome," but we did it along with a picture of a man being hanged from a tree. Strength instead of weakness. We are victors and not victims. Losers will lose, but victors will be victorious.
Yes, they will. Do you have any other basic tips when it comes to propaganda?
There really is a lot of them. I could talk for hours about this subject, and I have also given full lectures on this topic in the past, but I will try to keep it as short as compact as usual in this show. So just the basics. The most important thing, as I mentioned earlier, is not to leave anything to chance. Take a flyer, for example. It is not only what is written in the flyer that affects the recipient, but also which font is used, which colors are used, the visual language, how much text is there, the quality of the paper, and definitely how and by whom it is spread, and so on. Make sure to always take all parts into account. And then, of course, it is a balancing act. It is not always the most extravagant propaganda that is the best, because it is also the most costful. It is quality and quantity, and risk versus profit must, of course, be weighed in all contexts. But at least that you understand and that you take into consideration that just about everything plays a role. And there are so many examples. An extremely well-planned and thought-out demonstration with a great speech and really nice uniforms on the participants or whatever, but then the participants themselves, they walk like zombies in the demonstration with horrible posture and look down at the ground. This posture will make the whole demonstration become bad, even though everything else was great. As another example, take the world's most well-thought-out political meeting indoors, where you have thought of just about everything regarding layout and decoration. But then you serve some sloppy, semi-finished fast food to the guests, and the whole impression of the whole meeting will be dragged down, etc. A perfect activity where you don't take any good photos or film of the activity will also have a lot less spread than if you do so, and therefore it is worse propaganda than if you take pictures and films, and so on. However, there are two things I hate above everything else that I really think is examples of bad propaganda that I want to mention. And the first one is the one that I was on to earlier with the police. I mean, an alternative and revolutionary force cannot, of course, have more to do with the police and the system than what is absolutely necessary. But there are, for example, square meetings carried out by certain nationalist organizations here in the Nordics, where there maybe are 3 or 4 activists participating, and then 200 police officers who protect them against thousands of counter-protesters. It radiates so much weakness that, in my opinion, it would be much better to ignore carrying out the activity at all. There may, of course, be 200 police officers at our Nordic Resistance Movement demonstrations as well, but the important thing there is that it is not us who asked for it. It is not for our sake. We would have preferred to have taken care of our own security, and we would also have managed to keep the thousands of orcs at bay. And this is something we gladly will prove at every opportunity we get. Like I, for instance, a small thing I talked about in the report of the 30th of November. It is for the sake of the Reds and not for us that the police were there and followed us. Then the second thing I really hate that I must mention when it comes to propaganda, that is when you cuck because the system asks you to. Often maybe it is journalists who will ask you some difficult question and that you then appease to the journalist by distancing yourself from one thing or one word or a person or another group or something like this. Or family members who gives ultimatums to which you give in or etc. This is very, very bad propaganda. A strong force speaks up and goes its own way and refuses to move an inch from that way, regardless of what others think of it.
Yeah, and the ones who do that in the public, he or she should think about the group. It's kind of a betrayal leaving the group in its own, but it's more or less treason. It's treason when you do it publicly. So think about your former comrades and leave with some honor.
Yeah, and that contributes to bad propaganda that
Yeah.
you leave publicly. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, populism then, you mentioned earlier that Denmark carried out activism against the high electricity prices. Why doesn't the resistance movement do more like this?
This is a very, very sensitive topic. Because, of course, if you have the possibility to combine populism with our eternal national socialist principles so that it doesn't look like you are being populist, but as if it's still completely in line with your usual activities and with your ideology, then, of course, populism can be good. It's good if people like what we do, of course. But it is never good if you use populism at the expense of something else that is actually more important. I would take counter-jihadism as an example. It is more popular among ordinary people to strike out against Muslims than to say that you are against all racial strangers in the Nordic countries and that it is the Zionists that are the problem. And this is because the people have been so incredibly brainwashed that they are not allowed to be racist, never let anti-Semites. But I say it is still not better to succumb to this populism because when we betray our core issues, we will appear weak, at least in the long run. Yeah, sure, maybe we recruit some soft, liberal, mainstream people, but it will be on the extent on a hardcore activist, and in the long run, at the extent of all people, as the people are looking for an uncompromising and strong force. The people are not looking for someone who changed their mind all the time according to what is popular. There is enough of these people among the politicians already. But we should take a recent example. We can take also what you mentioned a little bit in the introduction, the COVID-19 thing. I think that was a quite clear example. Some people around the world told us that we should take a clearer and more active stance on the corona question. But I felt that it was not in line with National Socialism to put this issue before the racial and Jewish issue. And thus, we were a little bit more cautious. Even if we might have been able to do short-term gains on being more active with this question, we were more cautious because we didn't want to fall into populism. We would like to stay true to our core. Being popular is, of course, a good thing, but you should become popular for the right reasons. The masses should adjust to you and not the other way around. You should become popular because National Socialism is becoming popular.
Yeah, I know we talked a lot about this topic in episode number 17 when we talked about activism, but street patrols and soup kitchens for poor northerners, cleaning in nature, etc., is what we usually refer to as goodwill activism. Would you like to tell me more about this and why more of this is not being done?
Yeah, of course, these are also propaganda methods, definitely. And we do these things every now and then, but as you say, not to a great degree because of the mainly because of the things I just talked about populism. We are very keen on not being seen as populists and to not help out the society to maintaining order. Because the sad fact is that when our youngsters gets beaten up and robbed by racial foreigners, or when our people gets fired from work because of economical depression and so on, it benefits our cause. Also, as you talked a little bit about in the introduction. So, I mean, if we help the government to keep the streets safe, if we help out the politicians to clean up all the trash that their imported foreigners put in nature and so on, then we just help the system maintaining status quo. How could the masses possibly see that there needs to be a change if they never get to face the consequences of the policies of today's? Then, of course, and as said, we would also like the people to support and join us because they feel the need for a radical political change, because they actually learned about National Socialism and want National Socialism, not just because we are nice guys helping them out. However, with all this being said, of course, we can and should conduct these kind of activities as well, since it is in line with our ideology. To hand out food to poor people of our race, to prevent white women from getting raped. This is practicizing Volksgemeinschaft. So it's definitely in line with National Socialism, but it must be done with great respect for the balance, though, and a huge amount of thinking it through before just acting. And then also, it do cost a lot of resources. So again, quality versus quantity, possible win versus calculated risk.
And in conclusion then, if anyone listening to this wants to help spread healthy National Socialist propaganda, how should this best proceed?
Join or at least support your local National Socialist organization. There, I said it again. And if you do not have any good organizations around you, and you do not have the know-how or engagement necessary to create one, then help us in the Nordic Resistance Movement out in any way you can. Our enemy is hugely organized and has gigantic resources. And they definitely use propaganda in their struggle against us, against our people, against everything we stand for. And they also understand, definitely, that everything they do is propaganda. If we all that resists do as little as we please and without much thought, then we don't stand a chance to defeat them. It is only through the Aryan ways of serious organizing that we can succeed. Through clearly conceived plans and by following directives so that everyone steers in the same direction and so that everyone can do their little part. Together we become strong. Together we can influence the people with propaganda to fight back. And as a unity, we can spread the propaganda that will make our people act and once for all secure the existence of our race.
Yeah, and with that said, this episode is done. You can send questions and suggestions or topics for future episodes of Leadership Perspective to info@nordicresistancemovement.org. We do also appreciate both negative and positive feedback. Please spread this episode on social medias and help the Nordic Resistance Movement in any way you can. And you can read more on our webpage, nordicresistancemovement.org. Next episode will be available the 8th of March. See you then. Bye.
Yeah, and I wish you all a good continuation of 2023. Take care. Goodbye.